dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business. SwissAmerica.com brings you the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your guide for this installment of the War of Ideas. We will be waging it with Henry Sokolsky of the Nuclear Nonproliferation Education Center, a man who is deeply knowledgeable about what is going to happen as a result of Iran's fueling of its new nuclear reactor at Bushehr. Will it be nuclear war? We'll find out from Henry Sokolsky. Segment three, we'll be talking with Mark Helprin, the world-famous author, novelist, and essayist, about a fascinating piece he had in the Wall Street Journal yesterday about the rising power of communist China and what the United States government is doing to embolden it. We'll also be getting his take on Robert Gates, a man much in the news at the moment for having seemingly signaled he's about to leave office in the midst of the most far-reaching and, I would argue, devastating assault on the military's capabilities since his notorious predecessor, Robert Strange McNamara, was in the halls of the Pentagon. Finally, it's Tuesday, so segment four, we're happy to say, is Andy McCarthy Day, and we will be talking with him about the new tapes of torturing, we're told, intensive interrogation, at least, of Ramzi bin al-Shid, one of the notorious hijackers, or would-be hijackers, I should say, of 9/11 fame. We'll also be getting Andy's latest on the Ground Zero Mosque, the tortured position of President Obama, speaking of torture. But first, some thoughts from me about this new START treaty, an update of sorts. We have had two developments that I believe are causing this treaty to be properly in trouble. One I mentioned a moment ago, and we'll be getting into shortly with Henry Sokolsky, namely the fact that the Russians, with whom we have supposedly reset relations from the bad old George W. Bush days, have spurned yet again American entreaties that they not enable the nuclear program, the nuclear weapons program, ultimately and inevitably, of the Islamic Republic of Iran. As John Bolton, our best UN ambassador in decades, told us yesterday on the show, twice before the United States has been seeking to get the Russians to cooperate with us on all of this by, first of all, not finishing the Bushehr nuclear reactor, and second of all, not sending fuel over for it. Again, we've been given a high-handed rebuff. Now, on the 21st of August, within days, the Russians are going to put that nuclear fuel into the facility, presumably making it essentially unassailable, because the effects of an attack would be to probably disseminate widely radioactive material at a very considerable loss of life. If that is allowed to go forward, if the facility becomes essentially unassailable, as Ambassador Bolton has pointed out, Iran gets yet another way to build nuclear weapons, a plutonium-powered one. So the question occurs, how many United States senators will want to be seen, particularly on the eve of closely contested elections, to be rewarding Moscow for so egregiously increasing the danger to the Middle East and beyond? My guess is that very few among those Democrats running this fall will be willing to take on that particular political liability. And if that were the case before yesterday, still fewer such senators, I submit, will be inclined as a result of the latest indication that the American people are not with this program of President Obama when it comes to disarmament, to denuclearization, specifically of the United States of America. That is at the core of his entire arms control approach, specifically and most immediately, his New START treaty. In fact, as we talked about a little bit yesterday with Ambassador Bolton, the findings of this Rasmussen poll conducted last week of 1,000 American adults with a plus or minus 3% margin of error are dramatic, and for those of us who believe in the common sense of the American people, heartening, to say the least. Just to recap, in one question, how important is America's nuclear weapons arsenal to the country's national security? 77% said it's either very important, 51%, or somewhat important. Only 15% thought it not important. The question number two was, should the United States reduce the number of nuclear weapons in its arsenal? What the START treaty is all about. 27% said yes. 57% said no, with a further 16% not sure. Third, should the United States halt the development of new nuclear weapons? 31% said yes, but 46%, a strong plurality and nearly a majority, said no. And fully 24 said they weren't sure. I imagine that number of people opposed to this whole enterprise, this halting the development of new nuclear weapons, which again is central to President Obama's denuclearization bid to disarm the country he can, namely ours. If they knew that we had actually not been modernizing our nuclear arsenal for at least 20 years, I think the American people would be horrified and the numbers more dramatically opposed to such a halt. And then here's the real kicker. The president keeps telling us that if we just do this denuclearization thing, we don't modernize, we don't test, we diminish the importance of our nuclear enterprise, then the rest of the world will follow us to his halcyon state of ridding the world of nuclear weapons. 55% of the American people have the good sense to recognize that's not bloody likely. Only 37% think it might be. In other words, the American people want no part of denuclearizing or otherwise disarming this country. Neither should their elected officials. Let them know if you don't want them casting votes on your behalf to ratify the START treaty and otherwise move us inexorably into a much, much more dangerous world, especially if the Russians wind up helping the Iranians turn it into one involving nuclear war. Those are my thoughts. Welcome yours. Next up, Henry Sokolsky on how likely that nuclear war will be as a result of the Iranian reactor. Straight ahead.
Do you want the big picture on national security and foreign policy? Find out what Ronald Reagan meant by peace through strength at SecureFreedomRadio.org. You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Pat Boone here with a news flash. Finally, there's something conservatives and liberals can agree on. Gold. For thousands of years, gold has united mankind regardless of race, religion, or politics. Gold conserves wealth from financial uncertainty, a higher cost of living, and higher taxes. Yet gold also offers liberal benefits, such as growing fourfold since 2001. In fact, gold transcends left-right politics because its value is based upon ultimate economic truth and substance. So, whether you're a conservative, liberal, or independent, gold should be a part of your portfolio and family legacy. Call Swiss America now and request their free 2010 DVD, CD, and Economic Realities Report.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513. 888-393-7513.
Imagine you are a small child living a constant nightmare of abuse and neglect. Late one night, you are rescued from this awful situation and whisked off to a shelter. It happens so fast you have no time to take anything with you. No stuffed animal, no special blanket, not even a clean change of clothes. Scared and with people you don't even know, you have nothing to cling to for comfort. Sadly, each year in America, over 300,000 children endure this trauma and are placed in foster care with empty hands and empty hearts. That's where we come in. With your help, My Stuff Bags Foundation can give these kids their very own My Stuff duffels filled with new toys, a stuffed animal, and other desperately needed items. Let's show thousands of children across America that people do care about them with new belongings and new hope. Please call 8663-MY-STUFF. Or visit mystuffbags.org. That's 8663-MYSTUFF or mystuffbags.org. Thank you.
I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always have to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Think you're back to school. Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit, make a plan, be informed today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We are joined by Henry Sokolsky, the executive director and founder of the Nonproliferation Education Center here in Washington, D.C., an invaluable organization tracking some of the arcana and really incredibly important issues involved in the proliferation of various kinds of weapons of mass destruction. Henry also served with distinction on the Blue Ribbon Congressionally Mandated Weapons of Mass Destruction Commission in recent years, and is truly an invaluable, as I say, resource for all of us. And we're always happy to have you here with us at Secure Freedom Radio. Henry, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
Let's talk first of an issue that I know is on a lot of people's minds these days, and that is that we are in the, well, last few days, it would appear, before our so-called friends in Russia fuel a nuclear power facility in Iran that is widely believed to be at least a cover for a nuclear weapons program and possibly a great enabler. What, in your estimation, are the implications of that reactor being fueled on the 21st of August, and what comes next?
Well, I think the critical importance of this event is that we don't think it's very critical any longer. During the Clinton years and the first term of the Bush administration, we thought this was a dangerous program that ought to be stopped. In the second term of the Bush administration, with the ascendancy of the State Department, and under the Obama administration, we've come to see this as normal and acceptable. Nothing's changed. The laws of physics are the same, and as you point out, and as Clinton and John Bolton used to point out, this program is an immense cover for a lot of visits by people who have nothing to do with boiling water or producing electricity. Then on top of it, the program itself is the reactor itself is a prodigious producer of plutonium. Now, they'd have to break rules and be, you know, caught out perhaps, but they'd be in possession after 18 months of operation of about 60 bombs worth of near weapons grade plutonium if they chose to seize it. That's the reason it's inspected. You know, I mean, there's a reason why the IAEA cares about it. We care about it. It's not because it's perfectly safe. It's not.
Yeah. Henry, it sounds as though you're just a tad skeptical that the Islamic Republic of Iran might refrain from breaking the rules and having access to 60 bombs worth of plutonium in 18 months' time.
Well, look, they have so many other ways to get bombs as time goes on that maybe they don't have to break that set of rules. I mean, the point is it's multiple paths. They have that reactor. They have their enrichment program, which makes highly enriched uranium, which is weapons fuel. And they're bringing up a heavy water reactor, which will produce plutonium as well. So they have a lot of choices, kind of like we did in the heyday of the Manhattan Project. We had like three different routes to get bomb materials. So do they.
Yeah. I'm fond of saying, in fact, that I sort of alluded to it in the monologue I just did, that the Iranian nuclear weapons program is considerably more active than ours. and certainly more modern. Listen, Henry, quick question, and then we'll turn to another topic here. What is your estimation of the likelihood that our friends in Israel, and I mean truly our friends in Israel, will allow this fueling of the nuclear reactor to go forward unimpeded?
I don't have a clue, and the reason I don't is because it's an honest-to-God real debate. There are downsides for Israel from striking before or after, and I'm sure they're struggling with this. And the downsides have to do with their relations with us. They have to do with managing, you know, the follow-on and knock-on effects of what may follow an overt act of war, et cetera. So, yeah, I don't have a clue.
Hard to say. Okay. Let's go to something else that I think you do have a clue about and that we all ought to be paying as close attention to as you have. The issue is export controls. President Obama has made a point of saying that he intends to reinvigorate the American economy by getting lots of impediments to our exports around the world out of the way. And apparently one of the places where those natty impediments continue to exist is in the State Department. You've raised an alarm that the State Department being either relieved of that responsibility or exercising it less aggressively is almost certainly going to result in some very bad people getting access to very sensitive and militarily relevant technology. Give us the backstory on that.
Well, in an effort to streamline the regulations, which industry keeps pressing our government to do under any administration, the Obama administration has pulled the lever on a suggestion that people who are, let's say, of Chinese national citizenship be allowed, when they work overseas in defense firms that get American controlled defense goods, to play with that technology without anything more than a screening by the firm in question asking them not to send it back to, let's say, China, or if they're Iranian, which is a little bit of a stretch, but it's conceivable,
yep,
to Iran.
More rules that surely won't be broken.
Well, I think the reasons for doing this are strained at the very best. Apparently, the Canadians were upset that they had to violate their human rights and civil liberties rules by denying the Chinese that work in their defense firms access to this technology when they worked in Canadian firms that got this stuff.
Now, we can't have that, can we?
A good reason. That cannot be the sound reason for doing this. Yeah. I think, conceivably, this is a bit paranoid, that what's going on is there are a lot of people who are of Chinese origin and actually don't have American dual citizenship. In fact, they only have Chinese passports, that might be working in American firms. And the American firms may want to set a precedent first overseas and then point to it and say, well, why can't we get this kind of treatment? I'm guessing. I don't know why you would ever want to reach for this. It seems nutty.
Well, it seems dangerous to me that we're...
Well, putting, that's what I mean by nutty.
But as I say, putting this kind of sensitive technology, and that's, as you say, Henry Sokolsky, this is sort of a hardy perennial. We see this dance between the industries in question and exporters more generally, and their friends in the Commerce Department and elsewhere in the United States.
Well, on the Hill, I think everyone is so desperate,
pushing and pushing and pushing,
trying to say that we're promoting jobs. They're forgetting, you know, that this isn't likely to promote any jobs. And second of all, it's, as you say, potentially dangerous and a nutty thing to do.
Yeah. Well, and that, you know, one of the things that I've talked about from time to time, and I really would love to work with you, Henry Sokolsky, of the Nonproliferation Education Center on, is seeing if we can't have the counterpart to the environmental impact statement done when anyone proposes to rip up the export control regime. Let's have a national security impact assessment, because my guess is that the impacts are real and possibly quite serious. And if we at least understand them going into these kinds of debates, we might save ourselves a lot of grief down the road when all of a sudden those impacts
are real. It strikes me as a very sound idea.
We're going to have to leave it at that, Henry Sokolsky of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. Thank you so much for your contributions, both here and elsewhere, to our understanding of really vital issues. Please come back to us with an update soon. Next up, we have world-famous author and essayist Mark Helprin on the rise of communist China and what it means for you.
Download podcasts, hear clips, read the bios of the amazing people Frank Gaffney interviews, all at securefreedomradio.org. Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
The following commercial is sponsored by FeedThePig.org, an organization devoted to helping you save money. We will not entice you with messages like...
Lowest prices in town. Dealer approved, certified pre-owned.
No obligation consultation.
Nor will we brag about our...
huge selection. Enormous variety.
One-stop shopping.
Everything under one roof.
Or promise...
prices reduced up to 75%.
A sale like this can't go on forever. Factory liquidation.
Financing options available.
We will offer no contingencies like...
see store for details.
Prices and participation may vary.
Legal exclusions apply.
No purchase necessary.
We'll try to convince you that our product will give you...
leaner, tighter abs in minutes.
Perfect smile. Porcelain veneers.
Freedom from those painful, embarrassing bunions.
Because we simply want to help you spend smarter and save better. Log on to feedthepig.org. Find the benefits of saving for every stage of life. Brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Can I have a price check on aisle... ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I haven't looked at...
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke?
If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
This morning, a woman reached out. A man stepped up. A family drove their elderly neighbor to the doctor. Someone took 2 hours of their morning to help someone else find affordable childcare near work. Somebody sat down with 16-year-old Steven and taught him better note-taking skills and study habits, and suddenly, toughing it out till graduation seemed to Steven a pretty good idea. All this happened today. It'll happen tomorrow. It's happening here, there, right down the street. People are living united. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. We're realizing that the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs, their education, their income, even their health. So do something, any little something, as long as it's something. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's me, your piggy bank. Remember when you were a little kid? All the dimes and quarters in my back. Yeah, that was good times. Good times. Now lately, I gotta be honest, you've been ignoring me. Money's been slipping through your hands like a greased pig. Get it? Because I'm a... Anyway, I know how it is. Now that you get a real paycheck, it's nice to have stuff. You'll start saving money next year. Well, I hate to tell you, but good saving habits start now. Put just 20 bucks in the bank a month. Make your own coffee at home instead of that latte every morning. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Those changes alone could save you thousands of dollars a year. Come on, I'm your piggy bank. We can be together again, me and you, the special times. Anyway, if you don't want me to cry anymore, feed me. Go to feedthepig.org for more ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Radio that improves your chances for survival in a dangerous world. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Make Facebook your source for essential national security analysis. Search for Frank Gaffney and add him to your friends list.
Welcome back. The greatest of pleasures in being able to host Secure Freedom Radio is the opportunity it affords periodically to touch base with Mark Helprin, one of America's great novelists, authors, and essayists. He periodically publishes a piece in the Wall Street Journal, as he did yesterday, in this case entitled Hollow Talk in the South China Sea. So, Mark Helprin, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. Tell us a bit about your thoughts on where Mrs. Clinton might wind up in the annals of history based on past experience and her recent comments.
Well, the two famous cases are first Dean Acheson, who in a speech at the National Press Club excluded Korea from the Pacific defense perimeter, and that was in large part responsible for the decision upon the part of China and Russia to count as a North Korean invasion and then support it. And then the second one was April Gillespie, who was very wishy-washy with Saddam Hussein, and we know what happened there. But Hillary Clinton is doing the kind of reverse. She's talking tough to China, as she should, and signaling China that its absurd claims to the South China Sea, which are really, they're similar to the situation in which we would claim the entire Caribbean basin all the way to Venezuela.
That's an idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But anyway, she is talking tough, which is fine, except that the only thing behind her toughness is a declining U.S. military and a Chinese military, which is increasing by the day. So it's like a big X. Our line goes down, its line goes up, and at some point it's going to cross, and then the gap between us will grow. I've said this now for 10 or 15 years, and I forecast 10 or 15 years ago that China would reach military parity with the United States somewhere between 2015 and 2020. And at the rate that we're going, as we literally disarm, that may very well happen.
Yeah. You have been warning about it, indeed. It's been a long time coming. You're seeing evidence, as you document in your piece, that not only have the Chinese begun to deploy the capabilities to engage in access denial, as they call it, but they seem to be increasingly aggressively asserting the kind of preeminence that those military capabilities afford them. Where does this lead in terms of our relations with nations of the region, vital trading partners as well as strategic allies? And does this inevitably, in your estimation, Mark Helprin, lead to conflict?
Not inevitably, but the chances are certainly increased tremendously, because what we have here is, in this administration particularly, an American administration that believes in diplomacy and treaties and soft power. And in China, they don't believe solely in soft power. I mean, they like plenty of that, but they also are in a different state of history. They are what the Arabic historian Ibn Khaldun called in a state of asabiya, which means sort of like esprit de corps, momentum. But George Bush the first called it the Big Mo. They have tremendous drive and patriotism. If you think of the United States in the end of the 19th century, in the Theodore Roosevelt era, that's where they are now. And there is no question that they could actually resort to arms and fight us. We think in terms of, well, no country is going to actually go to war, because we don't want to go to war, so they won't want to go to war. It's not true. In the South China Sea, which is the subject of my piece yesterday, China has been asserting with perfervid enthusiasm its claims to the whole thing, more or less, because of the oil, because of the transit routes, because it's close to China, it abuts China itself.
The point is that from China's perspective, we're going to be seeing increasingly, I think it's fair to say, evidence that they not only assert control, but they are actually exercising it over minerals and other natural resources of great value that we are going to find are excluding to us to our great detriment.
You know, well, not only that, but I mean, if you think about it, if you look at the Taiwan crisis of 1996, which is a good sort of precursor of what may happen in the South China Sea, Bill Clinton kept on saying, well, we sent carriers into the Taiwan Strait. In 1995, the Nimitz transited the Taiwan Strait. It was the first time in about 10 years that had happened. But it was at the very beginning of the crisis, and China then doubled down, and it sent missiles over Taiwan. And in 1996, when the real crisis took place, Clinton sent two carrier groups to the area, but he kept them out of the Taiwan Strait out of sensitivity to China. In other words, we wouldn't go in international waters because China was there and it didn't want us to. And that was then.
Yeah.
Now, their naval power has increased. The South China Sea is farther away. Our naval power has decreased tremendously since that time. And now Obama may send a carrier group into the Yellow Sea to the west of Korea. But thus far, we've only sent it to the east. Again, taking a very careful account of Chinese sensitivities because of the relative balance of power, which is changing in their favor.
Yeah. Mark, in the remaining minute or two we've got with you, let's address the question of what's happened on our side of the ledger. You've described, broadly speaking, our naval power having greatly diminished. But is it fair to say that we've seen, I believe, under this administration particularly, a hollowing out of the military of the kind you've warned about for years now, that will also contribute to this kind of further diminishing of the relative power of the United States in a vital part of the world?
There's no question about that. And the what Secretary Gates has done is to, he's a good soldier. He recognizes that the military must be subservient to civilian authority, as it should, and he is implementing the Obama agenda while trying to save as much capability as he can. But nonetheless, we have not reached the point of where I would have been a long time ago of resignation, because what's happening is they are as I put it in the article, I expressed it as putting the America's big stick on a lathe and just running it down, and Gates is the knife. Obama's turning it, and Gates is the knife. We are literally disarming. If you would like a good example, can I give you a good example? We used to have generally during Cold War 15 aircraft carrier strike force groups, and now we have 11, and we're talking about 10. And then, in addition, the air wings on these carriers are destined to get the F-35, which is not as good as the F-22. The F-22 was never intended for carriers, but as other nations are going to fifth-generation fighters, we canceled the F-22. The F-35 is a lesser fifth-generation fighter, but even the F-35 just recently got into so much trouble, and it's the only major frontline fighter plane that we manufacture. Our solution was to delay it for 3 years, to make fewer planes. It's always to make fewer planes, therefore increasing the unit cost. And these carriers are, there are far fewer of them. Their air wings are weakening, and their support structure is weakening. We've abandoned anti-submarine warfare. I mean, the whole thing is going downhill very, very rapidly, and it's because the heart of it is that the Obama administration does not see American military power as a desideratum.
A desideratum being a fancy word for important, critical, or even desirable, I guess, is the key point.
Yeah. Something you want, yeah.
Something you want, and if we don't want it, we won't have it, and in its absence, we will unquestionably, Mark Halperin, I'm afraid, inherit a much more dangerous world, possibly even reaping the whirlwind. Thank you, my friend, as always, for joining us here at Secure Freedom Radio, and I'm grateful to you for your work, as always, and look forward to talking with you again soon. Next up, we have Andy McCarthy talking to us about the Ground Zero Mosque.
Miss a show? Find podcasts of Frank and the world's leading national security experts and policymakers at securefreedomradio.org.
Hello, friend. Pat Boone here with some good financial news for a change. Although stocks, bonds, and real estate may be stuck in a rut this year, the next mega stage of the long-term bull market in gold and silver is just beginning. Experts say gold will soon rush to new historic highs because gold alone is real money and offers value, safety, and growth. Gold is no longer a luxury. Today it's a necessity. Safety first. Start now by letting Swiss America educate and inspire you to rediscover gold for your existing IRA. Ask for their rare opportunity, DVD and CD. Stop worrying about financial gloom and do something to protect yourself.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Swiss America knows gold.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life, as you know it, has completely turned on its head? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Hands can do incredible things. They made every sound in this piece of music. But nothing compares to using them to help save a life. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. Visit handsonlycpr.org today. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
As a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, joining IAVA.org really helps in the transition home. It's a network of OIF and OEF vets like me who've got your back here, just like we did over there. That means when you need help navigating the GI Bill, we've got your back. And when you're dealing with the transition home, we've got your back. Or when you just want someone to share stories with, we've got your back. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org. We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
Fire took place 3 years ago. There was a lightning strike. The winds picked up and the fire just took off. You're in shock. You don't know what you're feeling. You have nothing. I lost my home and 40 years worth of art. I never thought that I would need help from the Red Cross. They gave me emotional support to get up in the morning. I'll never forget what the Red Cross did for me.
Contact your local Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org.
Joel Klein catches a 7 o'clock train after his evening CPR class at the American Red Cross.
Ron Garrity's on the same train. He's had a rough day and doesn't feel like himself. Until he feels the sudden tightness in his chest, Ron never thought he'd actually have a heart attack.
Until Joel is administering CPR, he never thought he'd actually save a life.
When you train with the Red Cross, you change a life.
Starting with your own.
Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn about life-changing opportunities in your...
Hey, Charlie, what gives?
Hey, did you see that play last night?
Oh, unbelievable. What do they feed that guy?
Yeah, but they still lost.
Yeah, I know.
You know, when I was playing, what we tried to
you,
do...
You played on Biltmore Street.
Hey, come on. I play in the service.
Oh, right.
Anyhow. What I'm trying to say is the kid, he
should have fallen down. Hey, you okay? Stop joking around. Oh, no. Someone call 911!
It can happen anytime, any place, without warning. Fact is, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke, and many don't even know they're at risk. The good news is, if you or someone you love has diabetes, you can lower the risk. But it's up to you to ask your healthcare provider how. For more information, go to diabetesactnow.org. That's diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio. Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We are joined, as is often the case, in fact, almost always the case, thank God, that we get to talk with Andy McCarthy here in segment 4 of Secure Freedom Radio. And Andy, there's much going on of interest to both of us, and I'm delighted to have a chance to visit with you. Welcome back.
Nice to be back, Frank, and there sure is a lot going on.
Let's talk about this report that Ramzi bin Alshin's interrogation overseas, I think in Tunisia or someplace, have turned up under a desk at the CIA and now been made public, as everything under desks at the CIA seem increasingly to be doing. What do we know about this little caper, and what do you think it might portend for our further capabilities to interrogate and otherwise detain and prosecute terrorists in our midst?
Well, the immediate problem, Frank, strikes me as probably a legal problem, and that is that you recall that there was a lot of litigation about the CIA's special interrogations program, and there were representations made by the government about
what was recorded, what wasn't recorded, and what was preserved and what was destroyed. So to the extent that there are pending investigations of agents, not simply for their for whatever activities they engaged in, but as regards what representations were made to courts about the state of the evidence, I'd say that's probably the immediate concern for the government. The broader concern, of course, will be with respect to intelligence gathering and our methods. You know, President Obama, of course, has ended, or at least officially dotted the I to end the enhanced interrogation program and made it somewhat a moot point anyhow by disclosing to our enemies what our methods were, which was a terrible mistake. But it's worth, again, highlighting to people that, you know, to the extent we're talking about waterboarding and other of these enhanced tactics, only three people were involved in that, and it hasn't been done for 7 years. So a lot of this is actually ancient history.
Yeah. So, Andy McCarthy, we're likely to see more lawyering going on in this area where already our capabilities have been much diminished. I fear that that will have negative consequences on our ability to prosecute this war effectively, and I know you do too.
Yeah. I think, as we remember, Frank, from the Abu Ghraib debacle, you know, we knew about Abu Ghraib before the pictures came out, but somehow the pictures certainly raised it to a different dimension, and you have to worry about that here, too.
Andy, let's turn to a different topic, one that I know you have been very intimately involved in recent days, namely the Ground Zero Mosque. Give us your thoughts on what the president's personal and very direct involvement in this affair has done to the larger issue of, again, not just the mosque, but the insinuation of Sharia, about which you've written so brilliantly in The Grand Jihad and Willful Blindness, your two terrific best-selling books on the subject. What all this means for our present parlous state?
Well, I think, Frank, that this is a real opportunity. What Obama did on Friday, I think, was on the four corners of it was pretty reprehensible.
And remind us what that was.
Well, he at an iftar dinner in Washington, which is an observance of the I believe it was the third day of Ramadan, which is the holiest month in the Muslim calendar, and at the end of the day they break their daily fast, and that was the occasion for a gala at the White House of the type we've been having for a number of years now. But he made what was obviously a speech intended under the circumstances to endorse the construction of what we call the Ground Zero Mosque. He did it in a sort of fawning appreciation of really a vacant abstraction, you know, what he calls religious liberty, which completely closed his eyes to the reality of Islamic intolerance, which is embodied by Sharia. So, you know, we're in the name of religious tolerance, he's basically saying we need to have a monument to intolerance at a place where nearly 3,000 Americans were killed by Islamic terrorists.
People who subscribe to that intolerant program.
That's exactly right. But I think unwittingly, no doubt, because, you know, he's been backpedaling since he forepedaled, he has raised this issue in a way that only the President of the United States can, to the point where every Democrat, for example, seeking office is going to be pressed, probably even every Democrat not seeking office is going to be pressed about whether they agree or disagree with the President. And they, of course, have been trying to lay low in the tall grass on this one. He's really raised this issue in a way that I think presents a golden opportunity for those of us who have been trying to point America's attention to what the Sharia agenda is, what it's all about, how anti-democratic it is, and how anti-American it is. So at the end of the day, that's my silver lining. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I do, too. I very much agree. Andy, speaking of Democrats, finding themselves suddenly exposed. Apparently, Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, has now bailed out on the president's position on this. And I suspect there will be a lot of other, if I may mix my metaphors, rats leaving the sinking mosque.
But, yeah, and I think, ahead. Frank, the thing that the media didn't cover, of course, is that Sharon Angle is the one who called him out on it.
Yeah, well, and that's what we're going to see more of, I hope, is people asking where, as you put it very well in your appreciation of Newt Gingrich's so important address a couple of weeks ago, which anticipated, in a way, the very debate that you have called for and that we are anxious to inform, both here at Secure Freedom Radio and you at National View Online and elsewhere, namely this issue of where do politicians stand on
right.
the effort to insinuate this this political program of Sharia into our country in violation of the Constitution and so on. Andy, as a former prosecutor with long experience with these guys, let me ask you a specific question. In the room on the iftar dinner evening, the president had several prominent Muslim Brotherhood operatives. You, knowing what you do about the Muslim Brotherhood and its mission to destroy Western civilization from within, must have been horrified, not surprised perhaps, but horrified at that prospect. What does it mean, and how should that be part of this debate that you and I both agree needs to happen now?
Well, you know, Frank, a number of months ago I made an observation that for the first time in my lifetime, and I've lived through, presidents, I guess, starting with JFK and even the end of Ike. We have a president who would be more comfortable in a room with Bill Ayers, the Weather Underground terrorist, than with me. And having spent a lot of time in national security, including a lot of time, at no small risk to my family, prosecuting terrorists, it chagrins me to see that I could also say we have a president who's more comfortable in a room with CARE, with the Islamic Society of North America, and, of course, with the guy behind it all, the Muslim Brotherhood, than he would be with me. And I think that's not a good thing. I'm not looking for a medal here. I'm just, trying to get a metric. But I think that's not a good thing for America.
No, it certainly isn't. And Andy McCarthy, all I can say is that I consider it to be a great honor to be in a room with you. And the idea that the Council on American Islamic Relations and its ilk in the Muslim Brotherhood are anywhere near the seat of power, let alone having the kind of influence that they are, is not just the subject of a very desperately needed debate, but I think it's an opportunity for prosecution in the future. And we look forward to discussing that with you further down the road. Thank you, Andy McCarthy, as always, for joining us. It's so great to have you with us.
Thanks.
And that's it for this installment of Secure Freedom Radio. I hope you found it helpful and interesting, and that you'll join us again tomorrow for more of the same. Until then, for all of us here at Secure Freedom Radio, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, brought to you by SwissAmerica.com.
Hands can do incredible things. This is the sound of 326 hands playing Mozart. This is the sound of 10,942 hands showing appreciation. 64 hands building a house for the homeless. 142 hands swimming a triathlon. 18 hands winning the big game. And this is the sound of two hands helping to save a life. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's incredibly easy and effective. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.